Hi, this is Millie, and you're listening to the Escaping Narcissistic Parents podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. Welcome to my new listeners, and thanks to my loyal friends. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word, and I will put all this in the show notes. Hi guys, I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're having a great day and a great week, depending on when you're listening. There's just so many topics related to narcissism, and more specifically, the consequences of being raised by a narcissist or being in a narcissistic relationship. Because it's not just about learning what a narcissist is, right? If you're listening, you know what a narcissist is, right? Basically, a person who only cares about themselves, who doesn't have empathy, who doesn't care about anybody else, who will do whatever they have to for their whatever their purpose is. They manipulate, they lie, they gaslight, they're sadistic. They like to hurt you. They like to hurt people. So I don't think that's an issue, right? As far as telling who the narcissists are. And when you first realize that your mother or your father or your boss or your husband or wife or your partner is a narcissist, it seems like the entire world are narcissists. And in my experience, it's not that the whole world is narcissistic. It's that everyone lives their life looking out of their own eyeballs, right? And I've said this before, because you see out of your eyes, I see out of my eyes, so we see the world through our point of view. And that can sound narcissistic to someone else. Right? If you're talking about something, you know, you're talking about yourself or how you're feeling or whatever, someone can say you're narcissistic. But narcissists, it's not just that. With narcissists, there's that level of wanting to hurt other people. Okay? Their supply is your emotional reaction, your negative emotional reaction. There are the narcissists, of course, that want just praise and adoration. But if you're the child of a narcissist, that's probably not your experience. Your experience is your parent has done everything to provoke you and you react, and that's their, you know, their big narcissistic supply dinner that you just gave them by you know, going along and fighting with them. But there's one topic, and it always takes me a few minutes to get there, right? I never just tell you what the topic is. That many of you are going to go, oh my God, when I say what it is, which is oversharing, okay? And I realize that there are a lot of issues like this that we don't realize that we've been doing because we've been trained. We've been brainwashed into doing, okay? And there's several reasons for oversharing. Now, what I mean by oversharing is you meet someone new and you vomit all over them. And what I mean by vomit is you tell them everything about yourself immediately, right? And it's oversharing is something that you have to be very, very mindful of, okay? I am 100% guilty of oversharing. I've seen the consequences myself. Right? I know that oversharing is just, It depends on who you're talking to, but even people who are not toxic can feel uncomfortable with that level of intimacy, you know, like emotional intimacy with someone you just met, okay? Or even if you didn't just meet them, let's say you're coworkers and they just don't feel comfortable with you spewing out, you know, your anxiety issues, your depression issues, the problems with your spouse or your partner, or, you know, my mom is a narcissist and blah, 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 and going into detail. Now, again, you're probably sitting there going, holy crap, that's me 100%. I'm an oversharer. I don't know how to stop myself, okay? Stopping yourself from oversharing is something that is just a mindful act, okay? It's something that you have to hear yourself doing and you have to stop yourself from doing. It just is. And for example, if you're going to start a new job, because that's really where it was the worst for me, was meeting people at work and then being too honest with them about my life, and it backfired a lot of times. I'm not going to say every time, because there were nice people who didn't use what I said against me or didn't go and talk about me with other people. But that's rare. It's more likely that they're going to talk about you, that they're going to think that you're weird. And it's not that at all. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get acceptance from that person. In somewhere in your mind, you were taught that if you overshare or tell someone everything about yourself, that person's going to like you. And let me tell you something, that's not how it works. Your personality is not your experiences in life. It is, but it's not the stories of your experiences. Your personality is who you are. It's that feeling that someone gets when they meet you and they just know, okay? Just like when you meet someone and your gut says, oh, nice person. Or, oh, run the other way. And please, if that happens, run the other way. Don't doubt your gut. Your gut, you have to reactivate your gut to tell you and warn you about bad people. Okay, if you don't like somebody, you don't need a reason. Me and my husband were in the car yesterday. My car has been, it's not used very often. The battery dies. And anyway, we took the car out for a ride. We were riding around and we were talking about someone, right, that we know. And I said, you know, so-and-so, I just don't like this person. I said, I don't have a good reason. I don't have, you know, an example of something this person did to me. I just don't like this person. I never did. They just rubbed me the wrong way. I said, and it just is what it is. And I said, you know what? Years ago, I probably would have forced myself to try and like this person. And now I'm like, I don't like this person, and that's what it is. If I have to be around them, I can be around them, but I don't have to be a friend, you know? It just is what it is. And this person has done nothing to me. And I'm not saying they're a bad person. I just don't like them. And that's fine. We have to be okay with those situations. Okay? So, I know, like always, I talk about other things. I hope you guys appreciate that I bring in other things, so it's not just the topic, you know. But oversharing is just not a good idea. It's just not, okay? So you have a new job and you want to make friends. The way to make friends is to let it happen organically. Okay, and what does organically mean? Organically means naturally, right? just let it happen. If you're going to be friends, you're going to be friends. And if you're not going to be friends, you're not going to be friends. Remember, the other person has got a gut too. And they might not like you for no reason. Okay? And that's something else we have to learn, is that just because someone doesn't like you doesn't mean anything about you necessarily. It could just be the wrong chemicals, right? I hate to put it down to we're just people that are run by chemistry, but it's so damn true. We are run by chemicals, okay? And love is a chemical reaction, especially when you first meet someone and you have that really strong chemistry and you have sex every possible moment of the day. That's a chemical reaction. That's and all of your feel-good chemicals are, it's like being on an antidepressant. It's better than being on an antidepressant, if you ask me. But all those good feel-good chemicals that we have naturally, serotonin, and all the other ones, I can't think of them right now. Epinephrine, right? Norepinephrine and all the other feel-good chemicals are just flying in your brain when you meet a new person. And then real love comes after that if the chemistry, it wasn't just chemicals. How many of you have had a fantastic, fun relationship that fizzled out in a few months because it was just about the chemicals, right? I certainly have, and I'm sure you have all had that experience. I think if we don't have it, then we haven't really lived a full life, right? Where you have that chemistry with someone. Now, I do get that people meet very young and end up getting married and they have a great life, and that's wonderful. I'm just saying, most of us do not have that experience, but we do, you know, meet some person that they just have the right pheromones for us, okay? And the relationship lasts a few months, as long as those pheromones are still really active. When it starts to die down, they're gone, right? It just doesn't keep going because there's nothing else there. But a real relationship has that chemistry, okay? And it may not be as strong, okay? I'm not gonna lie. The chemistry may not be as elevated, as strong. But again, how I've heard this on television, when you see a spark, sometimes that means a dumpster fire. That's the chemistry part. So when the chemistry's there, but it's not everything, maybe that's a better choice. I'm just saying. Because there's something more to it, okay? And that other part of it is caring about that person for real, right? They're not just a masturbation machine for you. And that's basically what the chemistry is. Anyway, so I'm done talking about something that's not related to oversharing right now. Okay, so oversharing. So you're starting a new job and you want to make friends. I already talked about that. You have to let it happen organically, right? How does it happen organically? You pass each other in the hallway and say hello. You get a good feeling with this person. One day you talk about, I don't know, the TV show that was on last night. And then you talk about, you know, oh, you're married and you have kids and you see what you have in common. And one day you have a drink after work on a Friday, okay? And I'm in this case, I'm talking about platonic, most likely same-sex friendships, like two women, two men, not, you know, please do not go out to have a drink with a person if you're straight, okay? If you're straight with a person of the opposite sex, because that's going to upset your spouse or partner, okay? Only if you're single. If you're single, I don't care what you do. But don't do that to your spouse or significant other, because that's a betrayal. Okay? It is. It is a betrayal to go alone to have a drink with a person of the opposite sex, if you're straight and you're married or have a significant other. Now, same rules go for gay people, right? If you're gay and you go out with someone of the same sex, and you're in a relationship or married, please don't do that, because that's a betrayal as well. It's never a good idea to meet alone with a person that you could be attracted to, or something could happen when you're married or dating someone, right? It's not a good idea. Anyway, personal experience. Okay, this is coming from a personal experience. I wasn't cheated on, but there was a situation. And let me tell you, at least women, I don't know about men, what men's radar is exactly, but women, we know when something's going on, even when nothing has changed in the guy, because they say, oh, if the guy is dressing differently, putting cologne on, haircut, goes to the dentist, that is not always the sign that something's happening. We feel it. We feel it in our gut. And we may even ask about it, and the spouse may or may not tell us what's really happening. So anyway, on to oversharing again. So you don't want to just meet somebody and start doing that. And I used to overshare at jobs. I used to overshare at parties. When I had my situation with finding out I had 3 half-brothers on my dad's side, and I wasn't speaking to my mother because I don't want to go into the details, but basically my mother wanted me to die. There's no other explanation for what happened. Hurricane passed by where I lived. There was no electricity for 10 days. They had power 2 days later, and they didn't call to tell me, my parents. So, in other words, they wanted us to die, because I live in Florida. It was over 100 degrees in the house. We spent $700 on a hotel room, and we got lucky to have it. And it smelled like wet dog, because there had been a dog in there before us, and they weren't going to rent it out to anyone, but we were so desperate. We were like, we'll take it regardless of the smell. Anyway, so I would just meet people and tell the story. Now, I'm not going to tell you that people weren't freaking interested, asking questions. That's what happened. So it got me positive attention, and it's not that I wanted the attention. It was more like I needed it to get it out. I needed to tell everyone that I met. But it got to a point where that wasn't even a thing anymore. You know, a year and a half, 2 years later, I'm just meeting people. And it was okay. I didn't have to talk about it. I didn't have to talk about my parents at all. I didn't have to mention them. That's the thing. We're allowed to not talk about things. You don't have to tell anybody anything. Do you realize that? Your life is your business. And actually, the more that you keep to yourself, the better off you are. Okay? I believe in energy, right? I mean, energy is real, but I mean, like, psychic energy, and just people wanting bad things for you. Not that it's going to happen. I don't believe that someone from afar can wish something bad on you and it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I know that can't happen because, well, I've wished bad things on my ex and he he keeps thriving. So I know it's not happening, right? I know that's not the case. But I do believe that you can have someone just, you know, be envious of you if what you're saying is that, you know, I'm in a happy marriage. You know, that's one of the things that I believe happened with my principal, the supervisor, my boss when I was teaching middle school. I'm going to just add one thing. I'm a little bit, I'm not happy about the situation because it affects children, but there's a little bit of satisfaction in it. Where I live, they are down 300 teachers. They don't have, school's going to start in 4 weeks. It was on the news this morning. And I was like, oh, really? Isn't that nice? Now, my certificate is not valid, but I'm sure that they will bend and twist to get me because I was a math teacher, high school math teacher. High school, I taught in high school for 2 years and middle school for 2 years. They would bend over backwards to get me that certificate. They would probably pay for it. They would probably just put me in there. They would do whatever they had to because they had to change the laws or... Anyway. I believe that one of the reasons that the principal at my... the middle school I worked at that screwed me over, or she screwed me over, the reason that she picked on me, that she bullied me, was because I was in a happy marriage with a good-looking guy, and you could see it on my face. Okay? Now, I didn't have conversations with her that were, you know, where I overshared, but I did overshare with someone that was close to her, and that was my mistake. Okay? You know, hindsight's 20/20, but regardless, I'm glad that I'm not, you know, that I didn't stay there because it would have been worse. But that's the problem. Now, why do we overshare? We overshare because we want to be accepted and loved, and we want people to like us. We think that that's the way to do it because we were raised by a mother that demanded that we overshared. Demanded it. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but my mother knew everything about my life. I had no privacy. She would try to trick me into telling her things that didn't happen. That's how much no privacy I had. How much, you know, she was just enmeshed and trying to control me, that she would make stuff up in the hopes that I would confess to something I hadn't done. Now, that was also gaslighting. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'll give you an example. And it's kind of a personal example, but I think about this a whole lot because it was just... It didn't make any sense, okay? And please, it is personal, and it is a little bit graphic. So if you don't want to hear this, fast forward. All right, so I was 17 years old, and I had a boyfriend. And this was, remember the chemical thing I was talking about before? This was it, in a nutshell, all chemistry, right? He was a good guy. He is a good guy. All right. He is. I don't really know. I did not keep in touch with him. I recently became friends with him on Facebook, but I decided to delete it. It's just too, it felt too strange. So we were going out, you know, senior in high school. My parents had a trailer in the Catskills for the summer to keep me prisoner so I couldn't hang out with my friends. But after I graduated from high school, I was like, I graduated from high school and I got a job. So when you are going for a month up to the Catskills, I'm not going with you. I made sure that I wasn't going. Now, I didn't say that to my mother. It was just my way to manipulate the situation, because I did not want to be a prisoner for a month in the Catskills and not see my boyfriend, because that would have been the end of it, right? He wasn't going to stay faithful to me. I knew that. Anyway, so my mom comes back, you know, on a Sunday night. My parents come back from upstate from the trailer from the weekend. And my mother calls me to the bedroom and says, there's a wet spot on the pillow. Did you and Robert, oh well, it's okay, common name, have sex on the pillow, right? And it's like, oh my God, like, first of all, it didn't happen. But she didn't actually ask me. She kind of accused me of doing it, right? That's not how she phrased it, right? She phrased it as, you did it, not did you do it? And I'm standing there and I'm like, first of all, there was no wet spot on the pillow. There was no proof of what she was saying. And second of all, that did not happen. Why would I do it on their bed? Right? Why would I do it on their bed? You know, when we did do it, we did it on my bed, not on her bed. Why would I do it on her bed? That's gross. But she expected, if she had a suspicion that I had done it on her bed, that was her way of making me admit to something I hadn't done, and I wasn't going to, and I never did. But it doesn't really matter. Like I said, it's gaslighting. It's, in a way, it's gaslighting. I mean, I knew it didn't happen. But you start to think, well, where the wet spot come from? And you wonder, even though I had not done that, right? I hadn't done anything on her bed. Now I realize that. Because for many years, I wondered what the heck she was talking about. Now I know. She was trying to get me to admit to something I hadn't done, gaslight me, you know, the whole thing. So we are trained to overshare, because every part of our lives, we had to overshare. We had to tell our mothers, right, everything that we were doing and how we were doing it and what was going on and who our friends were, and every part of our life was... They had a right to it, but they didn't have a right to it. That's the problem. And now we have to deprogram that part of our brains from telling other people everything, because nobody has a right to everything in our life. Nobody does. Nobody does. I don't know if you heard, I had to pause the recording for a minute because I heard a very strange noise outside, and I have my cats and I'm always worried that something's happening to them. It's just a kid who has, he's disabled, and imagine he has everything. He's in a wheelchair and he's just making noise. They usually don't walk him back here. And so he's scared, and I opened my lanai door, and they were right there. Like, I mean, not right there, but you know, it just scared me. I thought it was my cat. Anyway, so back to the oversharing. You do not have to tell people everything. Okay, and it's just something that, again, it's something that you have to be mindful of. Guys, I resisted things like meditation, mindfulness for many, many, many years because I thought it was crap. I really did. I said, that's not going to work. That doesn't help you. Right? Trying to force yourself to be in the moment. That's crap. That doesn't help you. Let me tell you something. It does. The issue with a lot of us that suffer from anxiety is that we cannot practice mindfulness or meditate when we're in the anxiety. We have to do it when we're not in the anxiety. Practice it. And then when we do have anxiety, we're able to quickly go back to that state of mindfulness. Okay? So, this is a suggestion for you guys. There are so many meditations. If you have trouble sleeping, there's sleep guided sleep meditations. I listened to Michael Seeley and Jason Stevenson. Both happen to be Australian. I don't know why. But I listened to their guided meditations for sleeping. And I just can be mindful now. I'm in the moment. I try very hard, okay? We're having issues right now, and I think this is across the board, especially since I don't work financially. And it almost feels like we don't understand why this happened. But it's because inflation is a big thing, and it has, you know, snowballed into everywhere. Like, our rent has gone up twice in a year, $100 in a year, in 6 months, because January and now in June. Money's just not going as far as it used to. It's just not. And so, at the end of the month, we find ourselves tight, like, and we're not doing anything outside of just living, right? We're not going out. We're not spending money on anything. And this is happening. And I have been in a state of constant panic for about, I would say, 5 to 6 months. Until a couple of days ago where I realized that the only way to live through this is to do nothing, to wait, okay? And in my state of panic, it's how can I make money? How can I'm looking on Indeed for jobs for my husband. My husband does something that's very niche, right? It's not something that there's lots of jobs, especially where we live. So constantly looking for jobs for him, trying to get him to get certificates and this and that to see if he could get a higher paying job. And what the ultimate decision has been, we did one thing we had to do, and now it's waiting. I said, let's just do nothing for a couple of months. And he agreed. I mean, it's easy for him to agree on that because it's most guys, I think. For them, it's easier to just not pay attention to something uncomfortable. But I'm saying it in the let's live in the moment. We're not going to be homeless, right? That's not going to happen. Worst case scenario, we stop paying some other stuff. So we have food, but it's not, right? We're going to have somewhere to live. We're going to have electricity. We're going to have water. Those are the things that matter, right? We'll have internet. So in order to not feel desperate, I said, we're just going to live in the moment. We're going to just live in the moment. Nothing's happening, right? I have tried and so many things, it feels like, and nothing has happened. Nothing's changed. So let me just wait for it to change. Maybe I just have to wait for it to change. I don't know. But it works, okay? I just want to say that. It works. Just staying in the moment and being present in your body at that moment. And that is the way to get into your body and being in the moment is taking a deep breath and noticing how your belly inflates, or just how does my finger feel, right? Just getting your thoughts back to where you are, not what's going to happen in a month, because that doesn't exist. The past doesn't exist either. Does the past affect you now? Yes, absolutely. But that's what we have to fix now. We can't fix the past. That's done. That's done. We can't fix our parents. We're never going to change mom. Right? We're never going to change her. For those of you that have hope of that, I'm sorry, but the news here is she is the way she is. She's going to get worse with age. And no one has ever been cured of narcissism. Okay? Not even Sam Vankin, who says he's self-proclaimed self-aware narcissist. He may be self-aware, but he's still a narcissist. And you can tell that just by watching his videos. He speaks in a way that you know right away he's a narcissist, because he uses words that you're like, you don't have to use that word. You can just speak in normal language. But he wants to seem more important than he is. So, oversharing. Stop oversharing. And the whole mindful thing is, if you're in the moment, if you really are, and you're listening to what you're saying, and you know I'm saying too much, you have to stop yourself until it becomes a habit to not. Do you want me to be honest about what I think? This is, again, my opinion. You're better off being a little quiet than you are oversharing. Okay? I tend to have a weird type of social anxiety where I hate having to deal with people over the phone. Like, I have an anxiety attack having to call the doctor's office, for example. But if I'm in a social gathering, I overcompensate and I am loud and I try to make jokes and I realize what I'm doing, right? It's social anxiety and me trying to overcome it by overdoing it. I've noticed that it's okay to be quiet and sit there. I mean, I don't want to become so socially anxious I can't speak to other people. But it's okay to not be loud and not be funny or the center of attention. It's okay to just be there and listening and saying something once in a while. But it's important to be present. That's what people see, right? And I still deal with it. I still deal with that oversharing problem of mine. I still deal with it. But hopefully with time and when I'm free to go anywhere I want, which, yes, I am free now, but I have a autoimmune disorder. I have a friend who's been very careful who's had COVID twice already. You know, I have to be super careful because I really don't know what it could do to me. There are already studies connecting my specific autoimmune disorder with COVID problems and long COVID. And so I'm careful. I don't really interact with people. But when I get back out there, when COVID is just a normal seasonal thing and we get a vaccine just like the flu and we could still live, right? I hope that I'm able to remember what I'm telling you and not overshare. Not overshare, right? I definitely don't want to overshare. Your deepest feelings are nobody's business but yours, right? Keep yourself close to your heart. Show people just little snippets of yourself until you know who you can trust. Because you cannot trust everyone, okay? You just can't. And when you overshare, you're giving people ammunition to talk about you. And if they're toxic, they're going to use what you said to them against you. And it has happened to me more than once, and it's sometimes it has been a problem. So remember, yes, talk to people, be friendly, smile. But you don't have to go beyond, hi, how are you? Until you're sure, right? Give that friendship a chance to come out of, you know, to develop. Don't try to develop it by being too open. Because the other person's not going to do it. Unless you're dealing with another empath, right? Another person that was raised by narcissists or has trauma in their past, they may also overshare, but most likely it's going to be just a person who feels weird because you just told them a lot about yourself and they're not ready to be that open with you. So give yourself that opportunity to really create friendships. Because you didn't overshare. Because it started slowly. That's how it should be. All right, guys. I hope that was a helpful podcast. I am hoping to start coaching, okay? I have tried, or I should say I've thought about it in the past. I have never been more confident in my knowledge of narcissism and how people should treat the ones that are in narcissistic relationships, especially coming out of a parent relationship, what to do, how to move forward. Remember, coaching is about moving forward, right? It's not necessarily healing. Healing is more therapy. And I'm not a therapist. But how to move forward with your life without the narcissist. And yes, what happens is healing. What happens is healing because you heal when you're out of it. So follow me on Instagram. Right at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word, and you will be able to see there. I will post a phone number that you can text or call, and then I first want to do like a 10-minute chat to see if we're a good fit, because it's not always going to be a good fit, right? And if we are, then we can make it a real appointment and we can talk about what it is, where you are in this narcissist process and where you want to be. And some of you are going to be way, way, way in the beginning and some of you are going to be way, way, way more advanced. And we start from whatever point you are. All right, guys, I hope that was helpful. You know that I do this because I love you, because we need to get better, because we need to show the world that not every parent is a good parent. Just being a parent doesn't automatically make you a good parent. And we need to shine a light on it so that it's not taboo, so that a generation from now, an adult child can say, I'm done with you, and other people will know and will understand, at least better than they do now. All right, guys, I love you, and until next time.